Our first speaker this evening is from Palestine. He was born and now lives in Jerusalem. He's the coordinator of the Palestinian grassroots anti-apartheid wall campaign, a very crucial organization in organizing to publicize and also to protest the building of the beyond words disgusting apartheid wall that Israel is erecting to annex more land and to prevent people from being able to live a normal life. He's a founding member of several organizations in Palestine, the Palestinian Environmental NGOs Network, the Palestinian Agricultural Relief Committees, and the Palestinian Association for Cultural Exchange amongst them. He's currently a board member in two of those organizations. He's written many analysis pieces on the wall and on the struggle for Palestine that have educated and enlightened many of us, and regularly represents the Stop the Wall campaign. Please join me in welcoming Jamal Juma.
Good evening. Thank you very much, and I'm really honored and happy to be with you today. And who knows, maybe this conference and this meeting this evening will mark for a new era, for a new era of struggle that will do something, that will move forward, and that will mark for a new period in the Palestinian struggle toward the liberation, toward the freedom, and toward ending one of the worst apartheid systems that do oppression on the Palestinian people over than 58 years until now. What you see in this picture is the Qalqilia wall. And we meant it to put it in the beginning, because Qalqilia is one of the first Palestinian cities to be encircled by the wall from all sides, to be jailed. For us in the campaign, that was, for us, very obvious and very clear what Israel meant to do by this project. A huge project of ghettoization for the Palestinian people in their land, to take what have been left from them for them as a step towards get rid of them totally from the homeland Palestine, aiming to vanish these people and building on the ruins of its history a Jewish state that they think that they will last forever on behalf of the Palestinian people. In order to be really effective and to do the real strong, concrete solidarity with Palestine, with the Palestinian people, and to protect from this tragedy that could come and as a continuous for the other strategy and for the other tragedies that have been happened since 48, we have to understand the historical background of the Zionist project where the Israeli state have been established according to. This is Palestine before 48. Where the majority of the Palestinian people were farmers living peacefully in their villages, in their cities. They were under that time under the occupation of the British, the colonization of the British, as well as the whole Middle East, which has been that time, early last century, drawn its new political maps for the whole region. Our bad luck is that we have been occupied by the British, who have been too sympathized with the Zionist movement that started almost 1897, and they promised them a homeland on our land. That was in 1917, where they started to facilitate their waves of immigration to our land. So since that time, it was systematically doing three things. First, conquest the land, all these immigrants were given land by the British, start building their colonies on it, start working on agriculture also like the indigenous people. The second, bring more and more immigration from outside, immigrants. And the third is pushing out the people, the indigenous people out of their land. In that 50 years up to until 48, the number of the immigrants that were able to come to Palestine, as you see, 600,000 settlers divided, as you see here, 200,000 in Jaffa, 100,000 in Jerusalem, 100,000 in Haifa, and 200,000 all over the place. At that time, the Palestinians in that areas, what's so-called Israel now, were around 920,000 population. As the Zionism built its project on the demography, on the idea of the Jewish state, with this number, it can't be achieved the Jewish state, 900,000 to 600,000. So what was happening is a massive expulsion to the indigenous people, where more than 85% of the Palestinians have been kicked out from their land. Their villages that you see here in the black dots is the villages that have been totally destroyed. What left from the Palestinians at that time in that areas, in two major areas, the Naqab and the Galilee, is no more than 120,000 population. Compared to 600,000, so they declared their Jewish state on the Palestinians' land. Palestinians became refugees, flooded to the West Bank, to the Arab countries, around Lebanon, Jordan, Gulf areas, around the world, started to reform themselves from the beginning, started resistance. During 50s and 60s were they able to build their Palestinian Liberation Organization. That time, West Bank started to form like a kind of a threat, again, demographic threat. So it has to be done another expulsion to keep the rate of the population to the benefit of the Jews. Of course, this is part of the massacres that have been done on the way of kicking the people out of their land. Palestinians left with the minimum. They left staying in the closed field to their villages, thinking after the war finished to go back to their houses. Some of them even didn't close their houses. Some of them left even the fire on. But any village that had been occupied, it was demolished totally, not to allow its people to come back, in a systematic plan that no people will get back to their land. This is a neighborhood in Haifa where they gather the people of Haifa before they expel them. It's in the harbor. It's empty until now, but lately they started now to sell it to the construction companies to demolish it and to build on its bases towers and commercial centers. Until now, inside Israel, there is 250,000 Palestinian refugees internally expelled. Many of them, their houses and their homes and their villages that destroyed no more than 1 or 2 kilometers from where they are living, and they are not allowing them until now to go back to their land and to their fields. As I said, when the liberation movement started to act in the West Bank, so it started to become a threat to them, while all these refugees that have been expelled from the 48 flooded to the West Bank, so 67 war started to expel another huge wave of the Palestinians to the Arab countries, where 500,000 Palestinians have been expelled that time. Since 67 up to now, if we want to go on the stages of the character of the occupation, how it's developed, we can divide it to three stages. The first one is from 67 up to 93, which were the whole West Bank and Gaza and under the full occupation. They started their settling movement in all the Palestinian areas with all its measures and changing and Judaizing the face of the area, and particularly Jerusalem. And that period was ended by the big Intifada uprising that started in 87, but it ends at the end with Oslo, which is marked the second stage from 93 to 2000, where at this time the occupation had been subcontracted to more than one part. The first part is the Palestinian Authority to be given administrative rule on the Palestinian people in the areas, areas called A, that they give them full administrative position on there. And the second is the policing. The second main contractor is the international community, particularly the government, who were subcontracting the funding of the people in that area. It means paying the expenses of the occupation that is still controlling everything there on the Palestinian areas. The third one, and of course at that one Israel were managing to double and to triple the number of the settlements in the West Bank and double the number of the settlers, creating new de factos, bypass roads, isolating totally Jerusalem and evacuating it from all its businesses and its, all of its organizations, and running an endless negotiations that end up with the nothing but just worsen the situation more and more, that the Palestinians can't afford it, and they started the second Intifada in September 2000. Since September 2000, the policy that the Israeli government take is that there is no Palestinian partner, and they became from a unilateralism opposing on the Palestinians and on the international community their vision and their plans on the West Bank, which came out of it, the disengagement of Sharon and the convergence plans of Ehud Barak, of Netanyahu. To go back just a little bit of the of one of the marked period in the Palestinian struggle, which is 82, when they invade Lebanon and destroy Beirut that time. They besieged it for more than 70 days, where it ended by taking out the Palestinian Liberation Organization, PLO, from Lebanon. And the Palestinians have been gathered again, have been scattered again all around the Arab world. And most of the Palestinian warriors have been locked in the deserts of the Arab world, in Sudan and Yemen and Iraq and Egypt. And here it became like the heavy weight of holding the struggle on the Palestinians inside. But Israel at that time, they think that they achieve their goal to get rid of the Palestinian representative. So they start pressuring the Palestinians inside the occupied territories, quote unquote, as they call it. And they create what's so-called villages leagues. Villages leagues is like collaborators who started to form them and to give them responsibilities for where they can, trying to give them, to passing them, for to, through them ruling the Palestinian people. Palestinians went into the streets, and the second year, all this project had been failed. They kept pressuring the people economically and became worse in their economical situation day after day, until we have the biggest uprising in the year 1987. Where all of the Palestinians were in the streets with stones, with what they have, they were fighting. They were confronting the second biggest army, the sixth biggest army in the world, with the very little means that they have. At that time, Israel have to recognize that there is a Palestinian people and start the Madrid conference. And from there, we end up, unfortunately, with Oslo. What you see here in the map is not a Swiss cheese. It is the West Bank with all the settlements that they were putting in and building in the constructing in the Palestinian areas. And as you see how this distributed in between the Palestinian communities on all the hilltops of the West Bank, occupying the agricultural land and water resources. During the first intifada, the way and the roads that leads that the settlers used to go to their settlements is the Palestinian roads, and it has been cut off. The whole colonial project have been question big question mark at it because they can't continue this way. What they did, the first thing that we did after Oslo, they did after Oslo, is open this huge network of bypass roads that marked for the apartheid system, for the ghettos, slicing the Palestinian areas, destroying the infrastructure, and dividing the whole villages and cities between each other by the connection between them by this big highways. So what was happening in Oslo, more colonization, as we said, bypass roads that slices and destroying the continuity of the West Bank villages. And we don't want to go into this, but I think one of the main things that have been done, it's a break by ending the Intifada and ending this with the results. And I can say I'm one of the generation of the first Intifada. We were very upset and frustrated with this agreement and with the result that how we were rewarded for our sacrificing and for our struggle for more than 5 years in this Intifada. Of course, this devastated situation led to the second Intifada. After 2 years of the second Intifada, they start Israel a massive project of building walls around the Palestinian areas, deep into the West Bank, exactly on the borders of the Oslo map, confiscating as much as they can Palestinian lands, annex it to the settlements, and trying to make it as narrow as they can to the Palestinian people. And the aim was very clear. And it's not invented by the Palestinians. It came out from all this literature, from the conferences that they were holding, from the, what they were talking on the TVs. There is a huge problem that's coming to Israel that they're saying. One of their professors called Arnon Sofer, in the year 2020, the number of the Palestinians will be 60%. So at that time, no Jewish state will be still alive. So he alerted this to the Israeli government, and they decide to deal with this on the ground by using the situation to start this massive project of locking the Palestinians, take out the land that they can expand on, so by the time they can accumulate it in the same areas, and they will leave by themselves. This is the virgin of the expulsion of the 21st century, voluntary expulsion. Make their life impossible there, take their resources, and they will leave by themselves. And they will not be responsible over another big wave of expulsion. We called it the apartheid wall, the apartheid system, the third Nakba, because we know and aware about the end results that they wanted from that. And you can see this is Qalqilia that I talked to you about from the beginning, how the wall is make it like a bottle. And all the wall is the red line. And what's isolated behind is the intensive cultivated land. We call Qalqilia the food basket of the West Bank. Jerusalem as well. You see all these black circles? This is the wall that encircled the five major communities of the people, Palestinians, inside Jerusalem. While you see all the one in the yellow and the in blue is the colonies that, as you see, make them, giving them the majority of what's left in Jerusalem. And that's how it looks, Jerusalem. This wall in many places not far away, just like 1 to 2 kilometers aerial from the city center. We are talking here about 9 meters high wall, 181 kilometers of walls in and around the city. The wall is going to be around the Palestinian area 730 kilometers, one of the longest walls in the world after the China Wall. That's also from the east side of Jerusalem, from Abu Dis. That's cut off one of the main historical roads, which is Jericho-Jerusalem Road, more than 4,000 years old, never been touched off, and it's totally closed, and the city became isolated and sealed from the whole West Bank. 16 villages isolated behind the wall just in the first phase. Now we are talking about over 350,000 Palestinians will be stuck between the wall and the green line. It means that these people will face the expulsion to move them inside the wall, because the whole convergence plan that they are talking about and the separation that they are talking about is bringing all the Palestinians inside the walls and don't leave anybody outside. It means you are talking about tens of villages that will be evacuated step by step. And they are now, we are witnessing and we are doing activities with 12 villages that already started pushing them out of there, which mainly this village is located between the settlements and the bypass roads in different areas along the West Bank. Destruction of our economy, our fields, agricultural lands, uproot the historical trees, the olive trees, steal it and selling it to the garden to beautify the streets inside there. That's what does it mean to destroy and to cut these trees for the people that they are waiting from season to season. What come out of it? And in the northern areas became the people life, as you see here, locked behind gates, opened half an hour in the evening and half an hour in the morning. Many of the areas and the fields behind the wall became now dried. The conditions became very difficult. They want anybody to enter to get a permission, and the permission should be conditioned with clean file. Clean file, it means that you've never been arrested, never been involved in political actions, your house is not demolished, no martyrs in your family, and you can imagine, since 67 up to now, 700,000 Palestinians have been into jails. Talking about 25% of the Palestinian community. No house in Palestine, there was no people were in jails. Talking about destroying also more than 20,000 houses for the Palestinians since 67 up to now. This is daily humiliations on these gates. That's one side. The other side that nobody would talk about and nobody dared to talk about, and we have to have the courage to talk about and to highlight it from now on, because this is marked the main character of this state. This is not in the West Bank. What you see here in this red is a huge wall from mud, from soil. It separated Qisaria from Jisr al-Zarqa, Palestinian village from the Israeli town. You could see what kind of situation and how the Israeli city, and look how the Palestinian village there, even its street is not paved yet. That's also not in the West Bank. That's separating a Palestinian neighborhood near Haifa from another Jewish neighborhood. This is in a Lod, between Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. This is another wall that's separating the Palestinian neighborhood there from a city. What you see here is in the Naqab, in the Negev. That is a settlement and this is unrecognized village. In order to control the Palestinian land and for the Bedouins in the Naqab, they are not recognizing the communities that they are establishing, which has come as a natural development of the society there. 40 villages not recognized. What does it mean, not recognized? It means no infrastructure, no electricity, no water, nothing. Even you are not able to register yourself or you're born in the official papers. So you are not existed. That's what the people do there. And that's their villages. On the other hand, what they are doing, they create what's so-called individual settlements. You know what individual settlement? One family, they bring there and they give thousands of dunams and they provide them with all the infrastructure. As you see, gates, electricity, paved roads, signs there, telephones. And as you see in the statistic there, in February 2003, there were 59 individual settlements stretching over more than 81,000 dunams. When you talk about 59 settlements, it means that it's all inhabitants, it's not more than 200 people. Back to the West Bank. This is Tul Karim, and this is the 9 meters wall that you saw it in the pictures. But this is from the Israeli side. It has been dumped by soil, prepared for planting roses. So when they are driving from here, it won't disturb them. They won't recognize that these people are starving, locked and jailed on the other side. Their life is devastated day after day. That's daily scene. People to be shot, left to bleed to death, didn't allow even the ambulances to come to rescue them. But you know what's the most like painful about this? Is nobody care. It could happen to the Palestinians by tens of people every day, which has already happened. You don't see even, you can't see it even in the news around the world. But can you imagine if something like happened this like this in Israel? The whole world will be justifying kicking what left from this terrorist in Palestine. This is a market, commercial market. 218 factories and shops that have been destroyed for building the wall in 2003. 700 families were depending 100% on this market in their living. Can you imagine this happened in Tel Aviv? Believe me, it's not more than, we're not more than breaking news in the breaking news in the media. Sometimes, yani, one who knows what's going on can understand the anger that the Palestinians have. Aren't what we have in our veins is blood? Aren't we listed in the human beings list? Why doesn't it mean anything to anybody when they saw these things? And the same story, expulsion. Go there to the same place now, you won't find anybody. You won't find just like some military cars, some settlers' cars. Other than that, you won't believe that this area became abandoned like this. This is not the only market. In Jenin, another one called Nbarta, between the two Palestinian villages. It's the same story. Killing people. You know, this is one of the active activists. He was not shooting. He was a good organizer for the community. He's 23 years old. He was working as a coordinator for the campaign in the northwest villages of Jerusalem. They killed him on the day of the ICJ ruling in 2004. Because he were able to get to the streets every day, demonstration of more than 4,000 people to defend their land. So they came in one of the demonstrations and keep looking for him until shot him in the head and they left the place. This is in Hebron. Hebron is a city of 20,000 population under continuous since 6 years curfew. More than 3,000 families left the city for the sake of 400 fanatic settlers living there. More than 1,500 soldiers, day and night, is guarding them. And just watching them while they are doing, burning the people's shops, humiliating the people, beating them every day. I don't know if you see this picture, but you see the mark, the David star on the hand of this young guy. You know, this was in 2002. There were a kind of punishment that the Israeli soldiers used to the Palestinians where they put in their hats a few papers, and when they caught a few young people, like they put them on the wall, and everyone have to choose his punishment. One of the punishment is to mark him with David Star by fire, which is the same that the Nazis were doing to them when they take them to the ovens. Other punishment is to break lid, your hand, break leg, break teeth. This is practices was going on every day, on daily basis. Our education, what you see over there in the tent is a school in the Jordan Valley. What you see down is the kids waiting for the soldiers to open the gate for them to go to the school. There is the main road to Birzeit University, the biggest university in the West Bank. And this is the daily life. On the other hand, what you see in the Jordan Valley is this is not a Sheraton hotel. It's a religious school for a community that controlling 30% of the West Bank, which is the settlers living there, 30% of the West Bank area. There are 7,000 settlers, which they are giving all the water resources, and this is the water resources that they built to them, like this huge reservoirs pumped from our water, from underground water, 2,800,000 cubic meters. And this is the Palestinian water that they are drinking from. That's what they are allowed to do. They are not allowed to dig anything. They are not allowed to build anything around it. And the aim was clear, just to kick the people out from there. We have 162 artesian wells since 1967, sealed and closed in the Jordan Valley. They are not allowing us to use it. That's the houses that they are building in the Jordan Valley. Any Palestinian build any house, they will demolish it the second day. This is the settlement, and this is the Palestinian house. The same as in the Naqab, there is settlements in the Jordan Valley like this settlement with one settler controlling and planting 4,000 dunams. While at the same time, there is a villages, Palestinian villages on 40 dunams, 1,200 people is living in, and as you see, they are start building over each other, became worse than a refugee camp. While they have thousands of dunams, they can't even able to use it. And this is the Palestinian houses that when they dare to build their houses, Palestinians use their cars and their trucks to sleep in. And we'll come to the one of the main things that mark the new apartheid system, the gates and the terminals. This gate is the only gate that leads to the one-third of the West Bank, which is the districts of Hebron and Bethlehem, the only gate around the world. This is for cars, and this is for people. People is going through this to X-ray, then to this path where the soldiers behind the glass. In each one of these ghettos that they are building, there is another kind of terminals, but it is for the workers, which is opened for the to go for the industrial zones that they are now building behind the wall on the land that they confiscated. This is electronically controlled by the soldier, used for punishing even the workers. Like this one, when it's rule, it takes just one person. And as you see, they put three person here, locked them because they don't have patience and they didn't obey the orders of the soldier. Gas the Arabs. If you want to achieve peace and security, do the transfer. The signs, we see them every day on the main street, on the bus stations, on our doors in Hebron, in Nablus. What is this? Do you want more racism than this? Do you want more hatred for the human being living than this? This is in the world the same. Arab to gas chambers. And this is on the maps how the system is going. You see the gate that I show it to you now, it is here located. It is in this here. There is another one on here, which is Kalandia, and there is another one under construction now in Zaatara. While on the behind the wall here, all along the wall here will be seven industrial zones that they open terminals for the workers to go there, to exploit the people there. This is not the whole system, but what you see here is the bypass roads, which is now turned into Israeli roads only. And what you see here is the bridges where the Palestinians, sorry, this one. There is 48 bridges like this where the Palestinians can go under the bridges and the Israelis over. And this is the Jews only roads. This is Nablus. We bring it just to show what does it mean, this the system. I hope that the mouse can work. For example, this is Salfit. And this is Masha, and there is another 6 villages became isolated behind. It used to be 5 minutes from Masha to Salfit, but now if anybody want to come from Masha to Salfit, he have to go through the tunnel of Hable, tunnel of Beit Lid, tunnel of Akraba, Beit Furik, tunnel of Akraba, tunnel of Madama, and go to Salfit. This is the Palestinians' life. What do you think the aim of this? The distance that used to take 15 minutes or 10 minutes, it's going to take 3 hours. Khalas, you have to fit up and to go out of here. What do you want more? No water lift, no development can be done, no future for you here. Daily humiliation, khalas, leave. This is the message. And this is what Kadima plan, as you see, just reinforcing and strengthening this apartheid ghetto system. This is the final status that they are looking for. You see all this blue line is the main highways. This is part of the, when you talk about the greater project or the greater Middle East, part of it, or Israel is the cornerstone of this Middle East project. So it's going to be oil pipelines from the Arab world, particularly from Iraq through Jordan to Haifa and Ashdod, as well as main streets, highways that going, leading for the trade, and that so people from the Arab countries can go direct to the Mediterranean, and from there to Europe, to the States, to all over the world. At the same time, you see the Palestinians will be totally isolated, and we have an example, unfortunately, for this reservation to be forgotten, which what happened to our friends and comrades in Native Americans and the Native Americans in this continent. Here we talk about, like, what's the possibilities, what's available, what we can do. In this project, if we are talking about two-state solution, the state, the Palestinian state, should be viable state, quote unquote. I'm using George Bush terminology. And it should be a possibility where it will be, should be, Gaza is the place where it's linking the Arab world to the Mediterranean. It could be have its airport, it have its sovereignty, which is looks impossible, and to have a continuous land between Gaza and the West Bank. This is could be the minimum that could help a Palestinian state. Otherwise, which is how it's going on, Palestinians have to re-strategize for their struggle. What do they want at the end? And this is the example that we are pushing us to. From our homeland, 12% will be left for us. Exactly like the 13%, the cantons that was, Sharon was thrilled when he visited South Africa about the idea of the cantons of the South Africa, where he were saying, we find it for the Palestinians. We find the solution. Similarities is everywhere. That's one in Rafah in 2004, and that's in Soweto. To summarize the whole story, this is it. From before 47 to 67 to 2006, and the big question mark, until when? And what's next? I'll tell you what's next. We are not for sale. We are a people of, like, all this history of struggle, of steadfastness. We have been developing this mechanism of resistance to all this, and we, at the end, we will win. We will continue our struggle in spite of all what's happening there. To be refugees again is not an option for us. We saw what does it mean to be a refugee in Jordan, or to be a refugee in Lebanon, to be a refugee in Syria, or around the world. We have no dignity anywhere else in the world but in our land. We promise you that we will not surrender and we will never surrender. We have been fed up and lost any confidence with the United Nations, with the international law that they are talking about, because any international law, any humanitarian law that didn't apply to me, it means that it doesn't mean anything to me. It can be mean something just if we together do victory to this human rights, to make it reality and to take it out of the clothes of the United States, European Union, or these governments, that all their history is bloody and have been proved in Latin America, in the Middle East, in the Far Asia, everywhere around the world. We can't expect that they will today come and like victory for the Palestinians' life, the Palestinians' rights. The only alternative that left for us is to put hand in hand. And we will do it together. I'm here very optimistic when I'm here, because what we are talking about now as a coalition against Israeli apartheid, this is the correct analysis for what this conflict is about. Israel is a colonial, racist, apartheid state. They have to be punished. It's a shame. It's a shame to accept in the 21st century apartheid systems like this, to accept walls like this, and to keep watching. We are betraying ourselves. We are betraying ourselves. Such a regime deserves to be boycotted, to be isolated, until they understand that they are doing something wrong. Because before, unless we isolate them, until we get this message to them, they will never understand that they are committing crimes. They are keep finding a justification for that. So from here, let's go on. Let's make it movement. Let's adopt boycott, divestment, and sanctions. Let's pressure our governments until we celebrate together the freedom of the Palestinian people. And from here, I would like to give you the greeting of the Palestinian people. And I would like to thank you very much for this initiative and to promise you that this is going to be the start, at the starting of this movement. And we will work day and night to make it happen all around the world. Thank you very much.